We're going to look at scripture today, Jeremiah 29:11. Now, this is probably a verse that you may have memorized at some point in your life, because it's a great promise. It's a great promise from God. Now, in the 10:30 service today, we are going to be celebrating our high school graduates, and Pastor Josh is going to be giving a little information on them. And so this message is kind of tilted that direction. But you know what? No matter what, the Word of God is universally applicable. Is that true? Huh? You know that from young to old, the Word of God speaks the same truth. And we want to just apply this towards our lives as well. So Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." This is a great statement. This is God saying, you know what? I think about you all the time. And he says, the thoughts that I am thinking toward you are characterized this way, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, if you haven't memorized that that verse of scripture, I encourage you to jot that reference down and just make it a little bit of effort, as well as reading your Bible on a frequent basis. But memorize Jeremiah 29:11. It's a great verse of scripture that speaks so much to us. You know, there's so many ways to think about God. Who is God? What is his nature? What is his disposition towards us? You know, some believe that God is this malevolent, you know, all-powerful person in the heavenlies that, you know, just waiting for you to mess up one more time and then I'll get you. You know, and you know, we hear it all the time. You know, people say, you know, I think God's really mad at me because I did this or because I did that, or I didn't do this or I didn't do that. You know, that's really not God's nature. God is not waiting to strike you down for messing up. Because you know what? If that was God's nature, we'd be on the floor more than we would be standing up. Oh, you thought a bad thought, whack, you know. Oh, you said a thing, something you shouldn't have said, whack, you know. We'd be on the floor more than we would be upright. And that's just not God's nature. We're going to talk about this in just a moment, about why we believe this and how that impacts our lives. But God is saying, this is the way that I think about you. I think about you in terms of thoughts of peace, not of evil. We can count on that. It gives us a future and it gives us a hope. Those two things make life livable, that there is hope and we have a future. You know, it's always true about the Word of God. Word of God is the truth. There's this idea that truth is plural. In other words, you know, you can see something and you can describe it the way it is and somebody else describes it and they're different. We run into this all the time with witnesses in the court of law, you know, see the same thing happen the same way in two different versions of that. With the Word of God, there is one truth. There's not your truth and my truth. It is one truth. And when we live by that one truth, and not edited, not modified, not in any way, you know, versionized, when we live by that one truth, the Word of God speaks life to us. And it will always guide us and point us in the right direction. There will always, you know, be, you know, things, choices that we have, you know, concerning obedience to the truth, to the Word of God. But if we will seek it out and find it, and the Holy Spirit will illuminate that to us, we spend time in His Word. So many people get frustrated and they say, you know, it's just so hard. It's just so hard, you know, to know what God wants. Well, God has made it pretty plain in His Word. And I think the problem more often is us getting into the Word than figuring out God's will for us. So if we are in the Word frequently, if you pick up your Bible and you just read it, I recommend read it cover to cover. And, you know, I'm closing in. I just ended the Old Testament on May 15th. And now I'm in the New Testament. I think I'm going to be done with my 40th reading of Scripture, 40 times tours through the Scripture sometime midsummer. So looking forward to that. And then guess what? next day I'm going to start right over, Genesis 1:1. So I encourage you to read your Bible, because it takes the mystery out of the will of God for us. And so, you know, instead of struggling with that, we access the Word of God because it's truth, you know, and we find gems here that just simplify how God is interacting with us, His creation, the human race. And here He says, the thoughts of that I think towards you are thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you future and a hope. That's God's nature. That is the way God relates to His creation. This is important. God is not out to ruin our lives, okay? He's not thinking, you know, hey, I made all these people, made this human race, so I could just torment them all the time. You know, I could just make their lives miserable and take away everything that's fun so they can't really enjoy life, you know, just kind of the carrot out on the end of the stick sort of thing that, you know, we want happiness, we're looking for happiness, but we never can achieve it, you know. That's not God's approach to us. You know, we think, you know, the God's Ten Commandments, you know, that are revealed in Scripture, we think those are just to limit our fun, when the opposite is true. It's to make our lives abundant. It is to make our lives full and satisfying and full of joy. That's God's purpose. That's God's nature. And those Ten Commandments and other things that God speaks in His Word are not there to limit our fun. It's to limit the damage we do to ourselves and keep us away. So, you know, He isn't out to ruin our lives, but to preserve our lives and to make them good lives. And it's only a reality when we live as He prescribes, we avoid evil and choose good. And really, isn't that what it's about? Choices? Choices? You know, we have choices every day. I'm glad that you chose this morning to get out of bed and come to church. That's a good choice. You know, we have choices every single day to make, you know, to keep calm and keep our patience and not to get, you know, wrapped up in things that, you know, drama that's unneeded. You know, we have that choice, and we have choices, you know, to involve ourselves in things that wear us out and, you know, empty our tanks, you know, if you will, you know, our emotional tanks and spiritual tanks, you know, that just wear us out and for no reason. So we live in a world of choices and options before us, and we're Arminian in our orientation to theology, and one of the main points of Arminianism is that Arminianism teaches that we have a limited free will. Okay, we don't have an unlimited free will. In other words, I can will to fly. I can get up on top of the church here and say, I'm going to fly. I will to fly and jump off. And you probably know the outcome of that. All right. So we do have a limited free will. And we have choices that are available to us. And it started all the way back in the Garden of Eden. There was a choice made that has had long continuing consequences that you and I are now living with. Choices have consequences. And so the choices that we make today, when we make them based on the truth of the Word of God, maybe there's some short-term pain with that. Maybe, you know, things that, you know, we get involved in, we need to avoid and whatnot. But all of the choices made on the truth, as accurately as we can find that, tend towards God's blessing on our life. And sometimes that leaves us in a place maybe where we're lonely or we feel like we're missing out. You know, one of the biggest fears that has been identified in recent years is that FOMO, right? F-O-M-O. Have you heard of FOMO? It's the fear of missing out. And it drives people's lives. It sounds funny, but it actually controls people. And we feel like we're going to miss out. You know, everybody's doing this. And we feel like we're missing out if we're not part of that. And sometimes those are good things to not be a part of, right? And we need to address that fear in and of ourselves. But, you know, God is there to help us through His Word, through the Holy Spirit, to guide us into the choices that improve our lives. And, you know, here we are. We are the sum total today, right where you are sitting. We are the sum total of all the choices we have ever made in our lives. And many of us, most of us, maybe all of us, one of the choices that we made was to accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord. And that's a choice that is life-changing. And that begins a relationship with God himself through his son Jesus and allows us a future and a hope, a future of being guided by the Spirit, being guided by the Word of God, and a hope of eternal life. And so we are the sum total of every choice we've made. Some of you are sitting next to somebody who was a choice of yours, okay? Hopefully that was a good choice, all right? If you're here today sitting next to them, it probably was a good choice. But choice is a two-edged sword. There are choices, good and poor, and we want to talk about some of the very key choices about our lives. And I'll throw this in. This is not one of my points. This is just extra. You may want to get up and leave. I'll probably offend some of you, okay? But I'm talking about choices. Especially young people, and since we're celebrating graduates this morning in the 10:30 service. But anyways, it's still a good choice. And one of the things that I coach and encourage is that, you know what? It is a choice to make certain things part of our lives. It is my advice. It is my pastoral counsel, if you will, that you avoid alcohol in your lives. Did I just offend you? I'm not sorry, but you know, I'm sorry, not sorry. To not make alcohol a part of your life. You will not ever hear somebody say, you know, I make my best decisions after I've had a few drinks. Have you ever heard anybody say that? You know, how many have ever heard somebody say, I made a bad decision because I drank too much? Maybe you've heard that, but I don't think I have ever heard anybody say, you know, first thing I do is have a few drinks, and then I start making important decisions. Not a good strategy. Not a good strategy, because alcohol just removes our ability bit by bit. The more we drink, the more ability we lose to make good judgments. It clouds that part of our thinking in our brain. You know, it's a choice. It's something we don't need to survive. It's something that has had a lot of heartache attached to it. Yeah, the Bible probably permits the use of some alcohol, and you know, take a little wine for your oft infirmities. Paul counseled Timothy, but nowhere in Scripture does it ever say that it is okay to be drunk. Nowhere in Scripture does it, you know, and every advice is, you know, towards especially hard alcohol or hard drinking, hard beverages, hard liquor, is to avoid it because of the poor choices that usually accompany that. So that was for free, all right? And you get what you pay for, so you can do what you want with that. But it is my counsel, is my pastoral counsel, to just say, you know, that's a choice we don't need to make for using alcohol in our life. All right, now that you hate me, I'm going to move on, all right? Choices. One of the choices that I think still apply to us, no matter how old we are, you know, whether we're, you know, high school graduates or whether we're, you know, near retirement age or whatever, is we need to choose to listen to the God-ordained authorities he's placed in our lives. That's a choice. The God-ordained authorities. Now, you know, we can always point to, you know, police and things that govern our civil life and all of that. We should obey the laws of the land in which we live, and certainly if they don't contradict the Word of God, that's the important issue for us. And many, if not most or all of our laws, you know, comply with that. And so it's incumbent upon us to obey, to choose to obey. Now, one of the points that I'm going to make in the next service, you know, is for our young people, is that one of the God-ordained authorities he's placed in our lives is our parents, okay? Believe it or not. Now, you know, young people say, you know, Pastor, you said that, you know, God thinks good thoughts towards us, thoughts of peace and not of evil. And then why did he put parents in our lives, right? You know, a lot of times, you know, we think that, you know, parents are there to ruin our lives. And so, you know, we have friction and you know, parents have rules that, you know, we don't want to comply with, or, you know, we have a contest of wills involved in these things. You know, I think I'm old enough to do this. No, you're not old enough to do this. You know, I think you should be in by this time, and no, I want to be in by this time, or, you know, I don't want to have a curfew, or, you know, those kinds of things go on and on. Well, you know, there is no difference, you know, between a minor child and parent relationship and our relationship with God. Those two are parallel. God has, as we've said, has set forth for us commandments and rules and things that are for our good. Now, as a parent, you know, if you have raised children or if you are raising children or now you get a chance to influence your grandchildren, you know, what a wonderful thing that is. But what do we try to do? What is our heart? Is we want to raise our kids to have an enjoyable, abundant life. Isn't that true? That's why we had kids. You know, I don't know one parent that got together and said, you know, let's have children so we can just torture them all their lives. That's not in our heart, is it? That is so far away from us. No, we want to cherish and to love and have this healthy and wonderful relationship with our children. You know what? That is exactly the way God wants to relate to us. That is God's desire for us. He wants us to have abundant, rich, healthy, life-giving lives. And so that's why he has given us his word, a roadmap, if you will, of life, so that we can navigate this life in a way that helps accomplish that desire of God. That's why he's given that to us. And you and I have the choice, you know. We can choose to obey, you know, the word of God. We can choose to obey the known will of God. And like I said, there may be times where, you know, it feels like it's an undue burden placed on us. You know, sometimes, you know, when we limit our children, you know, one thing I told my boys, especially as they, you know, got older and older, you know, kind of extending the abilities, I tell them, you know what, you can stay out after midnight, but I'll tell you something that's true. Nothing good happens after midnight. Just come home. Go. You know where you should be after midnight? Bed. That's where you should be. Nothing you want to be involved in happens after midnight. That sounds like, you know, a parent, I might as well just say, hey, I want to ruin your life, all right? Hey, you know, I want you to be the laughingstock and be mocked by all of your friends. I mean, I might as well be saying that, right? But it's true. And there are choices. There are choices in that. And you and I, as we relate to God, it seems like there are choices. Sometimes, you know, God says, thou shalt. And we would still want to say, what are you trying to do? Ruin my life. You know, I'm going to be the laughingstock of everybody I know. And there are times in the moment when it feels like, you know, that's true. Choosing what God says over what I want to do feels like it's an undue burden. Yeah, one time my son, he came home, or the next morning, and he'd been out after midnight. And he told me, he said, man, we were over at this place last night, and, you know, somebody, I was with, you know, two of my friends, there was three of them, and some guy came out and he pulled a gun on us, Dad. He pulled a gun on us. And I said, oh, what time was it? He says, well, about 1 o'clock. I said, yeah, you should have been in bed. You know what? You know how many people pulled a gun on me last night? Zero. Because where was I at 1 o'clock in the morning? Oh, I was in bed. Yeah. And he kind of was like, well, aren't you going to feel sorry for me? It's like, no. You should go to bed. If somebody pulls a gun on you and you're in bed, then I'll come to your rescue. All right. I got off track, didn't I? All right. God ordained authorities in our lives. Choose to listen. Choose to listen to what God ordained authorities in our lives. So young people, it's your parents. You know, for us, it's our relationship with God, spiritual authorities. This probably sounds like I'm tooting my own horn here, but spiritual authority. Why has God placed spiritual leaders in your life, pastors and such? The ministry gifts that Ephesians chapter 4 enumerates, you know, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? Why has God placed these spiritual authorities in our life? It's so that we can boss you around, so that we can empty your pockets and gain access to your bank accounts? That's not what God put us in your life for. I know that, you know, there are suspicions about that, and that's not it at all. Your pastor, elders in the faith that have demonstrated a successful life in marriage and integrity are placed in your life for your good. And listening is more than just hearing, okay? Listening is more than just hearing. I know that a lot of times, you know, we'll talk and people say, "I heard you." But did they listen? That's the real issue. And so sometimes, you know, we hear these, you know, spiritual authorities and they're trying to speak life into us. And sometimes we hear, but we may not always listen. And listening is responding positively to what we hear. And, you know, even people in civic places of authority, presidents and prime ministers and whatnot, even they have advisors that will speak to them and coach them on areas where they may need some additional information. And God has placed around us not only people like parents or whatever, but spiritual authorities for our good and to coach and advise you to success. No one loves you and wants you to succeed like those who are the God-ordained authorities in your life. I tell you, spiritual authorities want God's best for you. I'll just tell you, this is a little bit of transparency here, okay? As a pastor, I wish I had more opportunities, wish I was invited into people's lives a little more often to pray with them about big decisions in their lives. Pastor, we're thinking of moving. Pastor, we're thinking of selling our home. Or pastor, you know, I'm thinking of marrying this person. That's great. I am not here, I'll tell you this, I am not here to talk you into it or talk you out of it. That is not my role. What I am here for is to pray with you that you will arrive at the choice that God wants in your life, okay? That's what we're praying for. And, you know, I may, Pastor Scott, Pastor Joshua, may have some experience in one area of life that you're having a big decision to make about. We may share that, but it is not our role to talk you into something or talk you out of something, unless it's a clear violation of God's word, okay? You know, Pastor, I'm thinking of murdering somebody. It's like, you know what? No, you should not. I'll talk you out of that, all right? But if it's an area, you know, that doesn't conflict with the word of God, we're just going to pray with you about it. We're going to seek the will of God for you, with you. And we just will pray that God will reveal his will for you in that decision. And we've had the privilege of doing that and seeing wonderful results from that. That is a place that God has put God-ordained spiritual authority in all of our lives. I have those people in my life. And when I'm contemplating a big decision, I get on the phone and I talk to those people and let them give me counsel and pray with me about arriving at the decision that, you know, we believe God wants us to choose. So, second point today, okay, listen to God-ordained authorities in your life. Number two is this, choose to live by the word of God. We've been talking about this already, but I want to just make it a point blank bullet point for us today. You know, the Bible is not an outdated book. It was written, you know, the last bit of it almost, you know, 2,000 years ago, and it is point on. You know, some of it was written much before 2,000 years. Some parts of the Bible may be up to 4,000 years old. And yet the Bible has never been disproven. The Bible has never been successfully contradicted. The Bible has stood the test of time. Its truths have never changed. How many know science has changed? You know, it's a big slogan today. Oh, follow the science. Yeah, follow the science. Yeah, follow the science. You know, there was one point where science said, if you walk far enough, you know, you're going to fall off the edge of the earth, right? That was the science of the day. Follow the science. Well, you might follow it right off the cliff. I don't know. But science always changes. Science makes a new discovery and says, oh, this is going to rewrite everything that we know about this. And I just, my response to that is, oh, so everything I learned in school was worthless, right? We're rewriting the whole book on this? You know, especially in evolution, just drives me crazy, you know. They find some nose joint of a pig somewhere, and they say, oh, this is going to rewrite the whole evolutionary theory. And it's like, you know what? I got tested on all that stuff, and that was worthless. That was a little rant on my part, excuse me, okay? Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and what? That's a progressive statement. I am the way to what? The truth. And what does truth lead to? Life. Jesus is that path. And the Word of God has never changed. Nobody has found anything, a fragment of a manuscript anywhere that has to rewrite the whole Bible. Oh, we found this. Now we got to rewrite everything you knew about the Bible is false. Now we got to rewrite it. Never has that happened. What you learn today about the Word of God will never change over your entire life. That's why it's the compass for us. That's why we follow it. That's why we read it. That's why we invest ours, because it has the truths that is the way, the truth, and the life. Choose to live by the Word of God. That's a choice for us. There will be times when what I'm saying right now will seem absolutely untrue. But let me underscore, even at times when the current evidence makes the Bible look off track, trust the Word of God, because I will tell you what, your circumstances, the current evidence will change. While others call out for us to join them in all of their things that are out of bounds for people who love and know Christ, it will be look like they are finding life, they are finding liberty, they are finding happiness. But do not be deceived. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 says this, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Jesus elaborates on this very principle here in Matthew 7, 13, and 14. He says this, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there be few who find it. Sometimes following and choosing the will and way of God is a lonely path. I will not debate you on that. I agree. There are times where we feel like we walk alone by ourselves. Everybody else is having the life, having the good time, and we are over here just feeling maybe deprived. But let me say this, is the Word of God will never lead you astray. It may be a lonely path at times, but it will always lead you to life. You will never find yourself addicted, hungover, bankrupt, divorced, or suicidal if you devote yourself to living by the Word of God. That is where you will find true life, true liberty, and true happiness. I'm going to wrap this up a little bit short of everything I had planned to say today, but you know, things really, in a lot of ways, haven't changed since we graduated from high school. I graduated in 1977. I know there's some people in the room today who think, oh, you were such a little kid. 1977. There are people in the room who weren't born in 1977. But from that day to this day, nothing has changed regarding the Word of God. And our lives are improved, our lives are benefited, our lives are enriched by the choices we make according to the Word of God. Would you stand with me as we bring this to a close today? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you. You are the God of life. Lord, there's nothing in your heart that wants death for our outcome. Lord, I know that all of us will die at some point. Our bodies will reach that point. But Lord, it is our spirit that lives forever. And Lord, you speak life into us. And Lord, while we await the day where we will join you in eternity forever and ever, Lord, you want to make our lives full and satisfying and healthy and life-giving. Lord, not every day is a fun day. Not every day is a day that where it feels like we're achieving those goals. But Lord, you want to set us up for that. You want to guide us there. Lord, it's a lonely path at times. It's a difficult path at times. But Lord, we are never alone, no matter how alone we may feel. You are always with us. And I pray today, Lord, for every person in the room, from young to old, Lord, that you would be that one constant in our life. Lord, that we would look into the Word of God and there discern what your will is. And the Holy Spirit illuminating those truths to our understanding. Or we can read and we can choose and we can live. And I pray, Father, your blessing upon each one. Lord, nothing has ever changed. Lord, this is the same message that has been preached for centuries, is that the Word of God is absolutely reliable. And so, Lord, we pray today, Lord, that you would continue to lead us and guide us into life. And Lord, that we might illuminate that way for others as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, God bless you, and go out and make some really good choices, all right? God bless you.